Today on Brave, a message from Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
Forgive others just as God in Christ forgave you. That's your privilege. That's what you get to do as a Christian. Well, how can I do that, Pastor Jeff? The only way you can do that is if you have Christ living on the inside. You want to keep growing. You want to keep practicing the things of God. Practice forgiveness. Now, here's the beautiful thing about wanting to practice forgiveness. If you want an opportunity, you're going to get one.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. The Christian life is meant to be radically different from the way of the world, but with enough trials and temptations, Christians can fall back into worldly habits. So when we stumble in our walk of faith or we simply become complacent, what steps can we take to start living the way God calls us to live? Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff reveals three key methods that'll help us refocus our faith and keep growing in our spiritual development. We're continuing our series, Focused. And just a quick reminder, if you need to go back and catch up on earlier messages, head to bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with a message titled, Keep Growing.
So I invite you to open your Bible up to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 5 through 11 today. Get your eyes on it and let's look at this today. I'll read it aloud, then we'll unpack it. It says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. And here Paul begins to be our cheerleader and encourage us, keep on growing. Keep on growing in the things of God. And he's going to provide three ways that we can grow. And the first way is this. We grow by putting an end to your life of sin. The first step in growing in Christ is put an end to your life of sin. Now, if that sounds insurmountable, just continue to pay attention here and see what Christ has to say. He says, therefore, here's what he says. He says, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead. Now, here's what he's talking about. It literally reads, put to death the members which are upon the earth. It means to mortify sin in your life. Keep growing by putting an end to your life of sin. Mortify it. Secondly, do this. Practice living righteous in your relationships. Practice living righteous in your relationship. Since Christ is in you, the righteous one, he wants to work his life out in and through you. He says this, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. What's it mean, put them aside? It means this, get rid of all the old stuff. Put these things aside. Now, I said practice righteous living in relationships because all of Christianity is worked out in the relationships that you have in your sphere of influence. Because Christianity is not a private religion. It's a going on display to show the world how awesome Jesus Christ is. So in your relationships, how awesome do people see that Jesus Christ is? And here's some of the big ones that hold us back from people seeing the awesomeness of Jesus Christ. Listen to these five. First one, anger. You have any anger in your life? Put that aside. You don't have the privilege of having that anymore. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. You don't get the privilege as a Christian to hang on to internal anger regardless of what circumstance you've been through. Here's what we do. Here's how we justify it. Pastor Jeff, mine's a righteous anger. It's a righteous anger, right? You may have a righteous anger. If you have a righteous anger, bring that righteous anger to the cross and pour out your heart before God and tell him, I'm so angry and I have a right to be angry and I'm telling you that I'm angry, and help take this anger away so that in relationships, the anger doesn't bleed. You get a privilege to do that. There's nothing wrong with getting angry. It's what you do with the anger. Like, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Bring your anger to the cross. Give it to Jesus. Let him deal with your anger. You can't fester your anger. Because if you are, it'll lead to the second one, which is wrath. Wrath is intense or violent outbursts of anger. That's wrath. Explosion, like out of nowhere. Like, it doesn't even match the situation. As a Christian, if you have that, you put that aside. That's old grave clothes. You just put all that aside. Number three is malice. Malice is really a moral evil. It's a desire to harm another or to hurt their reputation. Malice is when you think in your heart, I hope something really bad happens to them. Do you have malice in any relationships? Where even if you yourself would say, I'm not going to do anything wrong, but I sure hope somebody does. I sure hope somebody does, because someday if something happens to them and it goes bad, I will be standing at the distance smiling with the biggest smile on my face, knowing they got what they rightly deserve. That's malice. You do not have the privilege as a Christian to hold on to malice, right? How about this one? If you have these three, here's how you know you have some of it in your heart. The next one, slander. This is where what's in the heart comes out of the mouth. Slander is strong language used against another person. Slander usually is not directly talking to the person. Slander is not where I'm telling you, I'm upset with you, and here's why I'm upset with you. Slander is, I'm not going to tell you, but I'm going to tell others, because my desire is I want to hurt your reputation really, really bad. I want to make sure that other people think worse of you than even I do. That's slander. That's where out of my heart, I'm trying to hurt your reputation. I'm going to write things, speak things, post things on social media so that other people will know how awful you are. I'm going to put you down to build me up. That's slander, right? And then this final one, he says, abusive speech. Abusive speech is obscene or derogatory speech. It's impure speech. It's lewd. It could be used with the intent of hurting another. It's just ugly language that's always coming out. It's ugly. When you're around a person that has abusive speech, they're just rude to everybody that's around them. They're crass. They're disrespectful. No matter where they are, no matter where they go, it's like you can see this tornado kind of building around them as they go. So you got to get rid of all that stuff. Now, as a Christian, as we're listening to this, in every relationship we're in, to some measure, if we're being honest with ourselves, we can see the Holy Spirit show us areas. Okay, that's us. So what do I do if I've got that? You know, I'm going to work on my anger this week. I'm so mad. I've been angry. I'm mad about it now. No, that's not what it means, right? What it means is I'm going to forgive. All of these sins come out of unforgiveness. You have felt wrong. You have had faulty expectations. You have had people that you expect to do different things. You're angry with them. You're building malice. And just so you know, if you have anger in your heart towards one person, or malice in your heart towards one person, or wrath in your heart towards one person, I want you to know something. You can't control it. It will bleed over everybody. It will come out in other ways around other people that you don't even know it's coming out around. So here's what you do. Here's what you do. You go to the cross of Jesus and you recognize what he's done to forgive all your sins. And then you say, Lord, in the same way you forgave me, help me forgive others. Forgive others just as God in Christ forgave you. That's your privilege. That's what you get to do as a Christian. I mean, think about Jesus. When he was being nailed to the cross, when he's being falsely tried, could he have gotten angry? Could he have had an outburst of anger? Could he have used abusive speech? Could he have had malice in his heart? Could he have slandered all these people who didn't know his word? Could he have had abusive speech toward? Of course he could have. And in some ways we would have said, well, he's totally justified. But what does he do? As the lamb, like a lamb that stood before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. When he did open his mouth, here's what we heard him say. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Wow. Well, how can I do that, Pastor Jeff? The only way you can do that is if you have Christ living on the inside. You want to keep growing. You want to keep practicing the things of God. Practice forgiveness. Now, here's the beautiful thing about wanting to practice forgiveness. If you want an opportunity, you're going to get one. Pastor Jeff, I just don't know who I'd forgive right now. Just keep breathing. That's all you got to do. You're going to have opportunity on a regular basis to forgive people and keep short accounts. And then he goes on to say this in verse 9. And do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Now, why would he say don't lie? Here's why. Because lying is the devil's language. John 8:44 says he's the father of all lies. Every time he opens his mouth, he's just lying. What is Jesus? He's the God of all truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. When Jesus speaks, he's telling the truth. When the devil speaks, he's telling a lie. If you are lying, you are speaking the devil's language. Stop lying. Stop lying. Well, I don't really lie. I mean, sometimes I tell little white lies. They're just little fibs. No, they're big honking lies, right? But we're not ruthless enough with ourselves. People ask you a question and you don't answer completely truthfully, that's a lie. You can tell people, I'm not ready to answer that question, but don't falsify something. Tell the truth. Now, how are we called to tell the truth? We're told to tell the truth in love. We're told to use discernment when we speak. It doesn't mean that if somebody asks me, do I look good today? You're like, no, you never look good. That's not the truth, right? I'm not talking about being ruthless and hurtful to people. I'm talking about those things that you choose not to say because you're protecting yourself. Don't lie. Don't lie. I mean, how are we doing on all these? Because if you're known in relationships as an angry, wrathful, malice, slandering, abusive speech, lying person, you're not putting the glory of Christ on display. It's not because he's looking down and saying you're horrible and you're bad. He's looking down saying, I live in you and I'm trying to get the world to see how awesome I am and you won't let me live my life through you. Would you please forgive those relationships? Would you please extend love to those? Would you please get rid of these things and set them aside? That's who you used to be. You're no longer there. Put on the new garment. And that's what he says in verse 10, which is the final way he tells us. He tells us to progress in our maturity with Christ. The third step is progressing in your maturity with Christ. Notice what he says. It says in verse 10, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. He says, you've already put on this new self. Take off all the sinful garbage in which you used to participate because you've already put on the new garment, which is Christ. You already have the righteousness of Christ. Let the righteousness of Christ live in and through you in such a way that when people see your good works, they'll give praise to your Father who's in heaven. That's what it means. You've already put this on. Take off the bad, put on the good. That's what he's talking about. And what's this renewal he's talking about? Notice what he says. He says, this renewal to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Now, we know God to be creator. We read in this book that God's created all things, thrones, powers, rulers, and authorities, things visible and invisible. Everything's been created through him and for him. He's the creator of all things. When you come to Christ, the Bible says you're a new what? Creation. In the same way God created the world, he's created you. And he's recreated you, and you're fundamentally different than what you used to be. I've heard people talk like this sometimes. Man, if I would have been Adam and Eve, if I would have been in the garden, I would have never sinned like that. They really screwed it up for the rest of us, right? The reality is the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you were there at the time of the garden, you would have done the same thing. That's what the Bible makes very pronounced. If you said, no, I wouldn't, your life demonstrates that you would because you've lived in sin your whole life. You didn't just sin once, you completely sinned over and over again, not even caring about it, right? So what's the new creation? The new creation is this. God's not just taking you back to what it was like before the garden. God created something so fundamentally different in your life that while he forgave you over the penalty of sin, which you're completely washed, God now has given you power over sin, so there's no Christian that ever has to step or walk or live in sin ever again. Amen? I mean, that's good news. It means whatever you've struggled with in your life, where you would say this, these words, which is just repeating the lie you've heard in your head, I'm always going to be this way. My mom was always this way. My dad's always been this way. My life's always been this way. My coaches told me I'm this way. My friends tell me I'm this way. This is just who I am. If it's sinful, God would say, that's not who I made you. And that's not who you are. And there's actually power and victory over that. And some Christians falsely believe that they have to struggle with the exact same sins to the exact same measure that they do now until they get to heaven. Paul says, oh, no, you don't. You've been renewed in a renewal where God is building you to be something greater than you ever thought God could make you, and it has nothing to do with you other than he's done all the work, he's given you a new identity through new birth in Christ, and all he wants you to do is put your sin aside so that he can show up in the full measure of who he is. And when you walk in that, that's where there's peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Spirit in your life for all that he wants to see in you. Now, here's the beauty of the thing. Because when some of you hear that, like, yeah, I've heard that from pastors, and I've heard that from people that lead in the church, but not me. I mean, you don't know my life, and you don't know the severity of my sin. That's why God included verse number 11. He talks about this renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. It's beautiful. Here's what he's saying. He says, it doesn't matter who you are at all. If you'll live in the position that God created you and you will get rid of sin and let God be all in all in you, let Christ be all in all in you, he will put you on a plane that you never even thought you could be on before. He'll put you on a trajectory that you never even thought possible. And notice what he says. It doesn't matter who you are. Look at this. There is no distinction between Greek or Jew. Now, what were the distinctions between Greek and Jew? Well, there were national, political, and ethnic distinctions. It means when you came to Christ, if you were American when you came to Christ, you're still American. If you were Israeli when you came to Christ, you're still Israeli. If you were Indian when you came to Christ, you're still Indian, right? It doesn't matter your political persuasion. It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. God is willing to take anybody that allows Christ to be first place in their life and grow them. Isn't that good news this morning? You don't come to Christ and have to have certain credentials for God to grow you. You can be whoever you've been, and God will take you and use you. There's no national, political, or ethnic distinctions, which means this: you can preach the gospel anywhere. Anywhere you go. Well, what am I going to preach if I go to Iraq? What am I going to preach if I go, you know, to Asia? You're going to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected, because there's no national, political, or ethnic distinctions. Number two, check this out. Circumcised or uncircumcised, right? What's that? That's religious distinctions, right? That's religious distinctions. It doesn't matter how you were raised. Some of you were raised going to church. Some of you were raised without a church. Some of you are Catholic. Some of you are Baptist. Some of you are Lutherans. Some of you identify as non-denominational. Some of you don't identify as anything. It doesn't matter what you identify with. It's who you identify with. It's not whether you were religious or irreligious growing up. God is willing to take anybody who comes to Jesus Christ and him alone. How many know that just by going to Brave Church, you don't get any extra credit in heaven? I mean, just showing up here doesn't do anything for you. Responding to the good news of Jesus Christ and letting him be in you and be all in all, that's what matters. Amen. Right? People ask me all the time, what kind of denomination are you? I'm like, what do you mean? Well, are you this or that? I'm like, we just serve Christ. And we open God's word and proclaim him. And all we do is put Jesus Christ on display. That's the kind of church that we are, right? It doesn't matter what your background is. How about this? Barbarian or Scythian. If you were considered a non-Greek, you were considered a barbarian, and Scythians were like wild savages. It means there's no cultural distinctions. It means that you could have grown up in a very tame environment. It means you could have grown up going to church, fairly moral when people look at you and say, man, that's a really good guy. She's such a good girl. Look at them. They grew up. You still need to come to Christ the exact same way everybody else does, by repenting and trusting Jesus. Or your cultural distinction would be, you went so far gone the other way. You are so anti-God the other way that even when non-Christians looked at you, they would say, I know you're not a Christian. Like, I know I'm not a Christian, but if I'm not a Christian, you're definitely not a Christian, because look at how far away you've gone. Here's what God says. It doesn't matter what your background is. In Christ, he's able to take anybody from anywhere and make them into the godly man or woman or boy and girl that he designed them to be. And then this final one too, I love this. Slave or free. Okay, check this out. There's no economic or social distinctions either. No economic or social distinction. Doesn't matter what city you live in. Doesn't matter what kind of house you live in. Doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. It doesn't matter any of that stuff. It doesn't matter if you grew up in bondage. It doesn't matter if you grew up free. It doesn't matter. Here's the whole point he's trying to make. The way you keep growing is to understand these final words that he says in the text. But Christ is all and in all. What's the gospel? Christ is all and in all. What's the gospel? Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you say, it matters that Christ is all in you, right? And the good news of the gospel is no matter who you are, no matter what your gender is, no matter what your background is, no matter what your skin color is, the day that you place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, here's my sin, I'm taking all your righteousness, and then you by an act of your will say, God, I'm willing to get rid of anything that hinders your work in my life, God can take anybody like that and grow them to the fullness of that person's design and intent that God had them to be. Which means this, good news, church. Every single one of you can be everything that God wants you to be. And the good news is this, he's willing to do all the work. The partnership with him is, okay, God, you do it, I'll get rid of anything that's hindering you from doing it. So here comes the question, how does this work? You allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about things he wants to change in your life. And when he tells you to change, you don't consult anybody else, you just start changing them. Yeah, but they don't have to do that. Yeah, I'm not talking to them about that. But then how come I have to? Because I'm telling you. But I don't see the reason, and you don't have to. I've been telling you this for 2 days now. I've been telling you this for 2 months now. Hey, I've been telling you this for 2 years now. Hey, I've been telling you this for 20 years, and you've never, ever listened to me. And you wonder why you've lost the joy of your salvation, because I've been trying to tell you for so long, this isn't the way I wanted you to live. Would you live my way? So here's the application. The application is this. Is Christ all in you? Is Christ your all in all? And if he is, would there be anything in your life where Christ would say, I'm not all here, I'm not all there, I'm not able to be all here because there's part of your heart that you're not giving to me? What part of your heart do you need to give Christ full allegiance in your life? And that's how we want to pray, because if we're going to keep growing, the way we keep growing is by allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to grow us in every single way by responding to him in obedience. Amen? So the way I want to end is just by praying for us. And wherever you're at, that whatever the Lord's shown you this morning, that you would tell the Lord, I hear you and I'm responding the way you want me to respond. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for who you are. And Lord, this morning, we just pray. If you're here today on either campus, you say, I don't know if I've ever trusted Jesus. I've just done religious activity, or I don't even know anything about anything else, but I know I need Jesus in my life. You can pray like this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Every one of those things mark who I am. But I believe you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave. And right now, Lord, I ask you to be the Lord of my life. I confess you as my Lord. And for those of you who are here today, say, Pastor Jeff, done that, been there. I know that I know that I know. Here's the question. Holy Spirit, be heavy on the hearts of all of us here. Show us the behavior we need to change that aligns with our true identity in you so that you have the fullness in us. And for that, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God some praise this morning?
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, and an encouraging message titled, Keep Growing. If you missed any part of today's lesson, or you'd simply like to learn more about Pastor Jeff and Brave, visit bravemedia.online. Today, Pastor Jeff continued our series in the book of Colossians called Focused by encouraging us to strive for a deeper connection with God in every aspect of our lives. We'll learn more about what it really means to follow the example of Jesus and trust in his authority as we continue this series, so keep tuning in. Now, before we end today, we'd just like to say how much we appreciate hearing from you. If you've been joining us for these lessons for some time but have never reached out, do that today and let us know you're listening. When you do, we want to remind you that your financial gifts of any amount are what help make this program possible. Your generous, faithful support ensures this radio ministry can continue bringing the truth of God's Word to new listeners across the country. You can reach out today at bravemedia.online and give your financial gift by clicking the Donate tab. Or give us a call at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. If you'd rather send a check in the mail, our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And if you're in the Denver metro area, join us for services this weekend at Brave Church. You can join us for worship at either of our two campuses in Englewood and Westminster, or tune in wherever you are by live streaming our services at bravemedia.online. For further details and directions, click the Brave Church button for all the info you need. I'm Bill Carl. Join us again next week for more Bible-based messages of truth and encouragement right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.